continue from last week to some paragraph. When I entered the chapel for a moment that same evening to thank God for all the graces he had bestowed on me in this house, suddenly God's presence enveloped me. I felt like a child in the hand of the best of fathers, and I heard these words. Excuse me. Do not fear anything. I'm always with you. His love penetrated my whole being. I felt I was entering into such close intimacy with him that I cannot find words to express it. So it is always, no matter for Faustina or for many, I've read many other lives of the saints, not the same. When you have this close relationship with the Lord, you feel such much love, and just whole thing is in him, nothing else. Then I saw one of the seven spirits near me, radiant as at other times, under a form of light. I constantly saw him beside me when I was riding on the train. I saw an angel standing on every church we passed, but surrounded by light, which was paler than that of the spirit who was accompanying me on the journey. And each of these spirits who were guarding the churches bowed his head to the spirit who was near me. Commander in chief. When I entered the convent gate at Warsaw, the spirit disappeared. I thank God for his goodness that he gave us angels for companion. So we have angels by your side. Oh, how little people reflect on the fact that they always have beside them such a great guest and at the same time a witness to everything. Remember, sinners, that you likewise have a witness to all your deeds, no matter good deeds or bad deeds, he's a witness. So even you don't want anybody knows, your guardian angel, he sees or she sees. Oh my Jesus, your goodness surpasses all understanding, and no one will exhaust your mercy. Damnation is for the soul who wants to be damned. But for the one who desires salvation, there is an inexhaustible ocean of the Lord's mercy to draw from. How can a small vessel contain that unfathomable ocean? So much greatness of the Lord, and we are a little heart. How can we contain this big love, no? As I was taking leave of the sisters and was about to depart, one of them apologized much to me for having helped me so little in my duties, and not only for having neglected to help me, but also for having tried to make things more difficult for me. At times of jealousy, of, you know, we do the same to other people. Make things harder for others. However, in my own heart, I regarded her as a great benefactress because she had exercised me in patience to such an extent that one of the elder sisters had once said, "Sister Faustina must be either a fool or a saint." For truly, an ordinary people would not tolerate such someone constantly do such things out of spite. However, I had always approached her with goodwill. I think we need to have the kind of simplicity towards life, no? Towards people. Although we know somebody doesn't, you know, is not with us, still with this simplicity that the Lord Jesus would do. Just be happy and joyful, like Faustina. That particular sister had tried to make my work more difficult to the point that, despite my efforts, she had sometimes succeeded in spoiling what had been well done, as she herself admitted to me at our parting, and for which she begged my pardon. So don't imagine, if you want to go to the convent, don't imagine you go to heaven. You go to purgatory. No, sometimes you imagine, oh, how sad, I'm married, you have a family, so many children and look after, and then, you know, the in-laws, so much difficulties. And then you think, your mind might be thinking, oh, if I can go to convent, how peaceful, the sisters, like in heaven, oh, so peace. That's an illusion. That's an illusion. There is always someone who is not good to you. Oh, not because you are bad. Just simple experience, daily experience. Is it true, sister? So, even for priests, don't worry. No exception. No, priests are all not exempted. No matter where, which parish, church, or institution, there is somebody doesn't like you, or you don't like the way he does. Always, always, always. No exception. I had not wanted to probe her intentions, but took it as a trial from God. So she knew ever since, you know, she is opposing her, she knew. But oh, I think in her heart she always said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The harsh feeling. Yes, harsh, but still you offer. We know how to learn this simple way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm greatly surprised at how one can be so jealous. When I see someone else good, I rejoice at it as if it were mine. The joy of others is my joy, and the suffering of others is my suffering. For otherwise, I would not dare to commune with the Lord Jesus. If you dare to say you are close to Jesus, and you still let yourself be jealous, then how dare you become close to Jesus? He starts like that, no? Remind us in this way. You want to do something bad, then tell yourself, how dare you go to communion and you still work in this way? You have to reflect all the times, no? To help us. The joy of others is my joy. The suffering of others is my suffering. For otherwise, I would not dare to commune with the Lord Jesus. The spirit of Jesus is always simple, meek, sincere. All malice, envy, and unkindness disguised under a smile of goodwill are clever little devils. Fuss. A severe word, freeing from sincere love, does not wound the heart. So, at times we want to keep our face and we don't want to speak the truth. That's bad. Even the other person doesn't like to hear, but it is true. If it is true, out of love, don't worry. A severe word, freeing from sincere love, does not wound the heart. The other person might be that they doesn't like to hear, but they appreciate. Even you lose a friend, worthwhile, because they appreciate you. March 22nd, 1936, before all of us were born, I think. When I arrived at Warsaw, I went into the small chapel for a moment to thank the Lord for a safe journey. And I asked the Lord to give me the assistance and the grace necessary for everything that was in store for me here. I submitted myself in all things to His holy will. I heard these words, fear nothing. All difficulties will serve for the fulfillment of my will. March 25th, in the morning during meditation, God's presence enveloped me in a special way as I saw the immeasurable greatness of God, at the same time His condescension to His creatures. Then I saw the Mother of God who said to me, "Oh, how pleasing to God is the soul that follows faithfully the inspirations of His grace. I gave the Savior to the world. As for you, you have to speak to the world about His great mercy and prepare the world for the second coming of Him who will come not as a merciful Savior, but as a just judge." Oh, how terrible is that day! Determined is the date of justice, the day of divine wrath. The angels tremble before it, speak to souls about His great mercy while it is still the time for granting mercy. If you keep silent now, you will be answering for a great number of souls on that terrible day. Fear nothing, be faithful to the end. I sympathize with you. So God, Jesus, give her the great mission to promote the divine mercy. And as you know, from all sides, objections. From the bishops, from the superiors, even from many priests. So she dare not speak out much. She suffered a lot. But the Mother Mary says, if you stop promoting this divine mercy, on the day of judgment, there will be harsh for many souls. And you are responsible, telling the sinner. Also, we are responsible too. Don't tell yourself, yes, okay, I keep it to myself. All the grace is not for you, for others. The grace is being given through us. If you keep it, it will die there. If it spread, come, it's a flowing water. The grace is the flowing water, right? Not dead water. But just keep for yourself. That's selfish. Speak now. Have the courage. Even you offend people, but they need to hear. If they're in sinful state, tell them not to do so. You're not a judge, but it's a friend. Speak out. They might not like to listen, or you might lose a friend. But we were. When I arrived at Wallendorf, one of the sisters gave me his welcome. "Sister, now that you have come to us here, everything is good to be all right." I said to her, "Why do you say that, sister?" She answered that she felt this in her soul. This particular person is full of simplicity and very pleasing to the heart of Jesus. The house really was dirt straight financially. I shall not mention it all. I shall not mention all of that here. So it's not a good place, physically, materially. But that sister, simple mind, simple heart, said a beautiful word. "Sister, now you have come here, come to us here, everything is going to be all right." That means not many things are all right. "You'll be all right, sister." Then that's her simplicity. She suffered, I think, that sister suffered a lot, and she's afraid Sister Faustina will suffer most, because usually these people are sensitive, most sensitive to the thing, to the way of God's way, you know. So if people are not treating one another well, or it's giving kind of poverty, doesn't mean poor outside. So they find it something wrong there. But she said she will not mention this. Another paragraph. Confession. As I was preparing for confession, I said to Jesus, hid in the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus, I beg you to speak to me through the mouth of this priest. And this will be a sign to me, because he does not know at all that you want me to establish that congregation of mercy. Let him say something to me about this mercy. When I approached the confessional and started my confession, the priest interrupted me and started telling me about the great mercy of God. And he spoke more forcefully about it than I had ever heard anyone speak before. And he asked me, do you know that the mercy of the Lord is greater than all his works, that it is the crown of his works? As I listened attentively to these words, which the Lord was speaking through the mouth of the priest, although I believe that it is always God who speaks through the lips of the priest in the confessional, I experienced it in a special way on that occasion. Although I did not reveal anything to the divine life, which is in my soul, and not accuse myself of all the offenses, the priest himself told me very much of what was in my soul and put me under obligation to be faithful to the inspirations of God. He said to me, you're going through life with the Mother of God, who faithfully responded to every divine inspiration. Who, my Jesus, who can ever comprehend your goodness? So she appreciated the priest is telling her exactly in her soul. She didn't reveal anything that she got the inspiration from Jesus, this mercy. But, you know, Jesus, drive away from me the thoughts that are not in accord with your will. I know that nothing now binds me to this earth but this work of mercy, divine mercy. Thursday, during the evening adoration, I saw Jesus scourged and tortured. He said to me, my daughter, I decide that even in the smallest things, you rely on your confessor. Your greatest sacrifice do not please me if you practice them without the confessor's permission. So although Jesus telling her directly, but still Jesus is indirectly through the confessor to tell her what to do in her spiritual life, to teach her to be simple and to be humble. Otherwise, she can say, now Jesus, you're directly to tell, you just tell me. No, listen to the confessor. The confessor doesn't have this kind of grace like her. Can see just face to face, can talk to her, talk to him. If you're proud, then say, oh, this priest, how can he tell me? I have to lay the direct line. And you, it's indirect line. How can you tell me what I do? I tell you more. I know more than you know. You know, you can be like that, no? On the other hand, the smallest sacrifice finds great value in my eyes. Small sacrifice have great value in Jesus' eyes, which is done with his permission. Oh, with the permission of the confessor, are those small things great value? Obedience, you see, obedience. The greatest works are worthless in my eye, even if they are done out of self-will. And often they are not in accord with my will and merit punishment rather than reward. And on the other hand, even the smallest of your acts done with the confessor's permission is pleasing in my eyes and very dear to me. Hold firmly to this always. Be constantly on the watch, for many souls will turn back from the gates of hell and worship my mercy. But fear nothing, as I am with you. Know that of yourself you can do nothing. Although she's, certain sense for us, she's powerful, no? She got the inspiration directly from Jesus. She should feel proud of herself. No. Fear nothing, but as I'm with you, know that you yourself can do nothing. Don't tell yourself, I have inspiration. No, it's not enough. If you're not humble enough, you don't know how to die to yourself, you cannot do God's will. In the fullest. On the first Friday of the month, before communion, I saw a large ciporium filled with the sacred host. A hand placed the ciporium in front of me, and I took it in my hands. There were 1,000 living hosts inside. Then I heard a voice. These are hosts which have been received by the souls for whom you have obtained the grace of true conversion during this Lent. There was a week before Good Friday. I spent a day in great interior recollection, emptying myself for the sake of souls. So whatever she done is for the sinners. Learn the spirit of Sister Faustina. Offer your prayers for those who you need. You might tell yourself, I don't need much prayer, but your friends need it. There's so many people. If you don't know who, tell Jesus, offer to Jesus. You have so many little sacrifices during the day, you know. Offer to Jesus. This is offering, you know. What joy it is to empty myself for the sake of immortal sins. I know that the grain of wheat must be destroyed and ground between millstones in order to become food. In the same way, I must become destroyed in order to be useful to the church and souls. Even though exteriorly no one will notice my sacrifice. O Jesus, outwardly I want to be hidden, but just like this little wafer, wherein the eye perceive nothing, but yet I am a host consecrated to you. So she can imagine herself the little host. Outwardly, just a white piece of bread, but inside, a sacrifice. So you too. Jesus there, hidden. You too, were hidden. Whatever you do, not to show off, but interiorly, your humility. Palm Sunday. This Sunday, I experienced in a special way the sentiments of the most sweet heart of Jesus. My spirit was there where Jesus was. I saw Jesus riding on a donkey's foal, and the disciples and a great multitude with branches in their hands joyfully accompanied the Lord Jesus. Some stood them before his feet when he was riding. Some others raised the branches in the air, leaping and jumping before the Lord and not knowing what to do for joy. And I saw another crowd which came out to meet Jesus, likewise with joyful faces and with branches in their hands. And they were crying out unceasingly with joy. They were little children. But Jesus was very grave, and the Lord gave me to know how much he was suffering at that time. And at that moment, I saw nothing but only Jesus, whose heart was saturated with ingratitude. Quarterly confession. Father Bukowski, when some inner voice urged me again not to put off this matter, I was unable to find peace. I told the confessor that I could not wait any longer. Father answered me, Sister, this is an illusion. The Lord Jesus cannot be demanding this. You have made your perpetual vows. All this is an illusion. You are inventing some sort of heresy. You see? And he was shouting at me, almost at the top of his voice. And I asked him whether all this was an illusion, and he said, everything. Then please tell me what course I must take. Well, sister, you must not follow any inspiration. You should get your mind off all this. You should pay no attention to what you hear in your soul and try to carry out your exterior duties well. Give no thought to these things and put them completely out of your mind. I answered, good, up to now. I have been following my conscience, but now that you direct me, Father, to pay no heed to my interior, I will cease to do so. Then he said, if the Lord Jesus tells you something again, please let me know. But you must take no action. I answered, very well, I will try to be obedient. I do not know why Father was being so severe. Now you see. When I left the confessional, a multitude of thoughts oppressed my soul. Why? Be sincere. What I've told is no sin. So I have no duty to tell it to the confessor. And again, what a relief that I do not have to heed my interior anymore as long as things are all right on the outside. I do not have to pay attention to anything or to follow my interior voices that have been caused me so much humiliation. From now on, I will be free. And again, a strange pain seized my soul. Can I not then commune with the one whom I desire so greatly, the one who is the whole strength of my soul? I began to cry out, to whom shall I go, Jesus? Because the confessor said, don't listen to anything else. So where I can listen? Interior voice stopped. What? But from the moment of the confessor's prohibition, great darkness fell upon my soul. I feared lest I hear some interior voice which would occasion the breaking of my confessor's prohibition. She's afraid. If the voice come, what if Jesus come again, what will she do? She's worrying. And then again, I die of longing for God. My interior is torn asunder, not having any will of its own, since it has been turned over completely to God. There was a Wednesday of the Holy Week. The suffering intensified on Holy Thursday. When it came to make my meditation, I entered into a kind of agony. I did not feel the presence of God, but all the justice of God weighed heavily upon me. I saw myself as if I knocked down for the sins of the world. Satan began to mock me. See, now you will no longer strive to win souls. Look how you have been paid. No one will believe you that Jesus demands this. See how much you are suffering now and how much more you are going to suffer. After all, the confessor has now released you from all these things. Now I can live as I like, as long as things are all right outwardly. These dreadful thoughts tormented me throughout the whole hour. Contrast. When it was almost time for Holy Mass, my heart was seized with pain. Am I then to leave the congregation? And since the Father has told me that this is a kind of heresy, am I to fall away from the church? I cried out to the Lord with a sorrowful interior cry. Jesus, save me. Still not a single ray of light entered my soul, and I felt my strength failing, as if the body were separating itself from the soul. I submitted to the will of God and repeated, O God, let whatever you have decided upon happen to me. Nothing in me is any longer my own. Then suddenly God's presence enveloped me and penetrated me through and through. This was just, I was receiving Holy Communion. A moment after Holy Communion, I lost all awareness of everything around me and of my whereabouts. Vinessa, I think, this way. Just a few paragraphs. Then I saw the Lord Jesus as he is represented in the image, and he said to me, "Tell the confessor that this work is mine and that I am using you as a lowly instrument." And I said, "Jesus, I can no longer do anything you command me to do because my confessor has told me that all this is an illusion and that I'm not allowed to obey any of your commands. I will do nothing that you will tell me to do now." One is commander in chief, one is commander, no? So, so "I'm sorry, my lord, but I'm not allowed to do anything and I must obey my confessor." "Jesus, I most earnestly ask your pardon. You know how much I suffer because of this, but I can't be helped. The confessor has forbidden me to follow your orders." Jesus listened to my arguments and complaints with kindness and satisfaction. I thought the Lord Jesus was not grievously offended, but on the contrary, he was pleased and said to me kindly, "Always tell your confessor about everything I said to you and command you to do, and do only that for which you obtained permission. Do not be upset and fear nothing. I am with you." You see, even the confessor said, "No, just tell him." She said, "No more. Tell nothing. No, tell, no, talk to the body. I'm free now. No inspiration. How nice." My soul was filled with joy, and all those oppressive thoughts vanished. Certitude and courage enters my soul. So, next week, see what happened. Next week, we will have the relics of Faustina coming with us. Tomorrow I will take the relics here in this church. I asked for a month to stay with us for a month. So we have to ask Sister Faustina to give us this strength of humility, you know, obedience, no? Not only humility, obedience. No, she's obeying. Also, I have to obey Jesus. Jesus asked her to tell everything to the confessor. Although the confessor doesn't believe anything, tell him. You tell somebody doesn't believe in you. Wow, it's a cracker, it's crashed. It's a crash, it's a sandwich. So to be a saint is not easy, right? But she's joyful.